Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joining in the studio, as I always am, the brilliant SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Martin Adkins and Ollie Cook. Let me tell you, Paul Sullivan is far too positive for my liking because Charlton have no wins in 9 games. We know there's been an injury hell, players falling, whether it's injuries or going down with illness, sickness and diarrhea. 2 really difficult defeats in the last 2 games. We're going to be talking all about them. Then another guest, as we always do, Tyler Rowlinson, Charlton matchday vlogger. He's going to be joining us once again because I take it he's not the happiest.
Mr. Angry this week, the boy.
Yeah, I was going to say, not the happiest at the minute, Mark. Well put. And then we will be looking a little bit more at that takeover once again, doing our own little bit of Charlton stats, the injury list as it continues. But Lyle Taylor is finally back after 14 weeks. And then we will do a whole preview because the game is tomorrow night and we're going to win it. I've decided. That's yes. It. 9 games. We're not getting into double digits. Ollie's just, that's got Ollie going. We are looking. And you can have your say as you always can at Love Sport Radio. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. I think that's it on the menu. But I'm hoping, Paul, Mark, is there a quiz? Is there a... No.
We got 2 games to discuss, to review, haven't we? So, unless you've got something up your sleeve.
No, I don't want to force you. You know, you're not performing seals, you know. I don't want to, you know, get it upon you on the stage.
Well, we're doing a bit of overtime as it is tonight because we're going to do a review of the calendar year after this, a pre-recording. You know, we've got to keep our powder dry.
More disappointed for the people that were tuning in thinking it was live. Paul's just run that one of magic. That's a pre-record.
We'll knock the invoice up for Kelvin later.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's something you can listen to on Christmas Day alongside Gavin and Stacey.
Wow. Love Sport's Christmas cracker.
Christmas special.
There you go. Well, let's get into those 2 games then, because let's start on Saturday. Lebo, you're afterwards saying one of the poorest games he's seen in a while. Team was terrible. Poor performance. Borough, they can't seem to be buying results at the minute, not scoring many goals. 1-0, really tough loss to take. Martin's already looking at Paul. No one really wants to talk about it. Ollie, you can do the honours and kick us off. Sorry, Mark.
No, go on.
Yeah, also, what's a positive spin I could put on this? It was
the
terrible.
Spin doctor himself.
It was a terrible game. One sloppy mistake really early on, about 50 seconds into the game, and that was the game done. And we didn't look like scoring, didn't really look like making a proper attack most of the game. What Lebo said was right. It was a terrible performance against a poor team. And that's the worst we've seen Charlton play under Lebo, I think. I can't think of a time we've actually played worse than that.
Yeah, this is the thing at the minute, because we've mentioned it, and he did say it after the loss to Huddersfield in the week. He said, you know, I feel like the players have not been robbed, but they're out there, they're really working, they're grafting for it. I feel so hard done by for them because they're putting in all this effort and we're not getting results. But on the game on the weekend, it was nothing of the sort, was it, Paul?
No, I mean, I hadn't even started my notes. I just finished my coffee and my chicken balti pie, and there it was in the back of the net. Such a soft goal. And, we never really recovered.
What did you do with the pie? Just launched it? Or?
Yeah, just launched it. I was closest to that goal where they scored. But no, it was a massive disappointment, and just throughout the game, we never recovered. I mean, we were so lethargic, our passing was slow, we kept losing possession. And I saw a comment by Jonathan Woodgate on the Friday saying, you know, my players have got to really be up for it, we've really got to turn up. And along with Luton, we're missing golden opportunities, and obviously we'll talk about Huddersfield as well, about all these teams that are around us. And we're just not showing up. And ironically, if you look back at our season, you know, we've produced it against the so-called better teams, haven't we?
Well, the worst possible start for us. I mean, whatever game plan Lee and Jacko had, gone straight out the window. Yeah. You know, you lose a goal after 55 seconds, you're chasing the game then, and you're falling in there. And we haven't got the players to chase the game. And I felt as a strange Team selection, personally, why he started Ledley, who hasn't played for over a year.
Key point. It's like playing with 10 men.
Albie Morgan, when Albie Morgan has played for us this season, he's come on, and I said a few weeks ago, yeah, Bowyer said, oh, he's not ready for the championship, but he's come in and he looks good. And, you know, the fact that he brought him on at half-time for Ledley, I think that tells its own story.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if you've got a guy who hasn't played for 16 months, you know, even a simpleton like me, I would think that this guy is not ready for, you know, the hustle and bustle of Championship football. I mean, Joe, he's got bags of experience. He's had a fantastic career. He's got 77 caps with Wales, and he's done it with the likes of Celtic, Cardiff and Palace. But, you know, to put him into that situation, and, you know, I looked at his game in the first half. I think his only real contribution was a free kick which went flying wide. I mean, he's just not going to be with the pace with the game. So, obviously, we're a bit desperate for numbers in that, and we were probably calling on his experience. But, unfortunately, it backfired spectacularly. And, obviously, as Mark says, we had to make a change at half-time.
Well, this is it, because you mentioned that you thought it was slightly strange that Ledley played. But when you are short of body, someone that's been playing in the Premier League, I watched an interview where they said, what Joe Ledley's doing in training, you know, he come on, we give him a trial, and he's been absolutely brilliant. Just that experience, you know, for the youngsters, because we've said, you even said, hey, young, this side's been at the minute, didn't you, Paul? You know, yeah, really young kids. If the result goes a different way and they don't concede, or it's a different type, we're not talking about Ledley starting. Yeah, you know, this is a guy with Premiership experience.
Oh, no. Let's put cards on the table. The geezer is proven.
Yeah. And he's a good player. I like Ledley. Yeah.
It's a good signing. Mm. Right. And
do you know who gave him his debut for Cardiff? Lenny Lawrence, the old Charlton manager. But, and he was bowled over when he saw the kid, as he was then. Yeah. A great, great player. He's been a consistent player.
He's a good signing, no doubt about it. You know what I mean? But to chuck him in an away game of that magnitude, where it was a bit of a sick pointer, you know what I mean? And as I said, hasn't played for a year. That's a big ask for him. You know,
but
for
it's
anyone.
A hard one, isn't it, Mark, in a sense, because, you know, you're all going up there, you're waiting for the game, and then if he doesn't play, everyone goes, we signed Ledley, why is he on the bench? Why is he not starting? Do you know, then you get the critics that way, don't you?
You do. You'll get the, you know, the
you can't win, can you?
More vociferous Twitter people, and they've been out and about the last couple of weeks.
Well, I was going to ask,
it's been interesting what reading on social media. That's
because
for sure.
The ones that I think, I'm pretty sure I did ask this last week, but maybe it's because I'm sort of getting into the Charlton bubble myself. But for the ones who aren't,
come in, Charlton.
Come in, thank you. Such a warm and friendly place to be. For the ones that aren't in the bubble, I keep hearing this Charlton fan that, you know, the golfing class, maybe people weren't too sure or similar of how they played, and now they have been fanned out. And maybe there's a small case for that, but the injuries and everything else that goes with it, and the run. I mean, I know now we are into 9 games, but I think it's a little bit misleading.
It is, because you look at what Lee Bowyer said, and he's absolutely bang on. No one's spanked us. No one's given us a right good shoeing. You know what I mean? We ain't come out of a game lost 4-0. They've all been 2-1s. 2-1s, you know, it's all been, we've been competitive in every game, you know, it's just, you can't legislate for the injuries that we've had, simple as that, and some of the officials that we've been getting as well. I mean, you know, the disallowed goal against Huddersfield, which was, you know, was never offside or anything like that, you know what I mean? We're not getting the rubber to green, we need that, we're literally not getting those little bits, you know, a goal off of someone's backside, you know, a little deflection.
Or maybe a little offside goal yourself offside, but you get it, do you know what I mean? No VAR, Danny. Well, let's look at Huddersfield, because, you know, obviously this was in the week and I'm watching it and I've got it on and, well, desperate to get the result, as I know you all were. What really was the sickening punch? Obviously, last dying seconds of the game and that one there. We've gone from Middlesbrough really conceding early to then conceding in the dying embers of the game.
Yeah, no, it's really a kick in the teeth, that one. I don't think I got over that until literally walking in the studio, I think, when I saw these lovely faces.
Checks in the post, Ollie.
But, yeah, I think, and you see this on social media and you see this with our fans, there is a change in attitude right now that we're getting a bit more frustrated with what we're seeing, and people are getting a bit upset that we're not managed to get the victories or any result from these games. And a last minute, you know, defeat like that really does turn people. And I've heard people say ridiculous things on Twitter and
such
things
as
like
what?
That.
What can we?
I've seen hashtag Bowyer out.
Ridiculous. Absolutely nonsense.
We had that last season.
Not subscribing to that whatsoever. No. We're not even going to talk about that.
How can you even consider that, considering what he's done for this club and with no money at all, and at the moment with no players at all? The fact that we're getting teams coming to us, and we're only losing 1-0 It's still impressive in what it is. So, but the atmosphere's changed a little bit. We're not behind the team as much, and you can see it has an effect on people. Naby Sarr's very much a confidence player. He needs to, you know, have people singing his name, chanting him. And if he doesn't, he plays poorly, and that's what's been happening recently. So, yeah, it's a bit disappointing that the atmosphere's changed a bit around the club, and it really is having an effect on the pitch.
Yeah, it really is, and because you know I get to hear it through you guys and live via through you in the Cholton life. And I know when it was this good start, you were saying, you know, the away game selling out early. Mark, you spoke about that next generation of Cholton fans, the youngsters getting on board. Yeah. Is that, you know, we know winning helps everything, doesn't it? It thrives on it. Has it sort of tailed off a little bit then?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I've noticed the last couple, because obviously Taylor's now back, he's on the bench. They want him starting, they want him on. But Bowyer is being clever, because, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, the medical team was getting blamed for all the injuries, you know, because they're all getting injured. So, you know, Bowyer's got to be clever with Taylor being back. He's doing 45 minutes. I think he'll start tomorrow night. He's got to start tomorrow night.
Well, I think the noises he's making is that he's got to be very careful with it.
Yeah, he's still managing his minutes.
I'd rather have the 45 minutes from the start.
Yeah, but we can't take the risk, Martin, of him breaking down. And as he says, he could break down and you're losing for 7-8 games. Yeah. We can't let the
form dictate who you're starting, really, can you? Because we're desperate for a result. Let's get him in, and then you get the result, and then... But Lyle's going to be out for another 10 games. It is interesting, Ollie, you said the absolute nonsense. Martin won't subscribe to it, you know, hashtag Bo, you out. And that, again, comes from the Cholton bubble. And just that side of that Cholton bubble, doing a West Ham fan show, Pellegrini on the hot seat. Yeah. Who was the name they wanted on the show? I don't know if you know. They wanted Bowyer.
Yeah.
He knows the club. He knows the fabric of the club. He's a Londoner. He gets the culture, you know, desperate for a man.
Seeing
what he's doing in the Championship. And then you've got Cholton fans. They led him to the Championship. Want him out. It's crazy, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think it's only a minimum amount of people would be saying that, so I'm not too worried. You're always going to get diverse opinions across the board. But listen, for me, on Tuesday, I got behind the team from start to finish. You know, my voice was hoarse by the end of the game, and I could have died a thousand deaths when that goal went in. The one bright spark for me at the end of the evening was... being followed by Danny Cowley on Twitter, which was nice.
You got followed?
Yeah, bless him. So, because I just put up a little... I was so down. It was about 2 o'clock.
Just pick up that name drop. Sorry, carry on, Paul.
Just dropped to the floor there.
Yeah.
But, I think it
must have been a mistake on his part.
No. Oh, yeah. He knows that I'm part of a great Charlton fan show here, and he was just bowled over the fact that I was bringing him in.
Yeah, for me.
Should have got him on. Cowley, what are you up to?
Well, do you know what? We're getting him on for the opposition view. Come February, March.
Yeah.
Benny, anyway, I just dropped a text. I was so down, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was still suffering from that sucker punch. But I followed his career very closely, and in a way, I was pleased for him because he's done so well at Concord Rangers, Braintree, Lincoln, and he's very studious and he works so hard. So I don't begrudge a man who obviously celebrated hard at the end there, and it was good to see, in a way, just putting my objective head on. But
not having it.
He was.
Mark's not having it.
No, I don't care. I don't care about Danny Cowley. He's the opposition. Get rid of him.
I know. But
get rid of him. Mark has spoken.
You've got to sometimes look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, you have got to look at the bigger picture. It was almost Shakespearean there. Paul's like, my voice was hoarse. It was, I could have died a thousand deaths at the end as they marched over. Into the breach we go once more. Well, Cholton, they are going into the breach in a minute. We keep looking for them to galvanise the side, spark the side. What is it going to take? Because we all was hoping, really. We sort of pinned our hopes on Lyle Taylor be back. And I know we're still waiting for it. But and then I sort of done it with Joe Ledley, and that was why I defended him there. But Mark, where is it going to come from? Is it just this little bit of rubber the green that's needed?
I think it is. You know, it's going to be a last minute goal like what Huddersfield
had.
You know, we could, tomorrow night could be an absolute crap game, 0-0, and up pops, I don't know, Bond with a last minute winner. You know, Alfie's got deflected into his path. We need something like that just to get the ball, you know, get us back into the, you know, into the groove, so to speak.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a lucky win, isn't it? Like off the back of Bond's head, like Leeds, something like that. It's just going to, and everyone in the crowd's going to remember, this is what it feels like to win, because we haven't felt that in a while. And it's just going to turn everything around, and the confidence is going to come back.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
I was going to say, we need a Lyle Taylor Christmas, don't we?
We do, and at the minute we're having an Ollie Cook Christmas, because you can't see it, but he's wearing a Cholton Christmas festive jumper.
I'll take absolutely a picture,
yeah, please do. Please. Ollie said he paid 25 hard-earned pounds for it, but I think the club paid him, and he took the offer, and he is wearing it. An absolute sight to see. A sore sight.
Absolute corker.
A corker it is. Next, we're going to be joined by Tyler Rowlinson, Cholton match day vlogger, and I think he's got a few things to get off his chest. Love Sport. You are listening to the Cholton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joining the studio with the SE7 podcast. Paul Sullivan, Sir Martin of the Adkins. I learned that today. And only, he texts me, and now you get this iPhone update, and I saw his photo, and I saw he give himself a title. I've got to admit, very, very sick, scary stuff. And now that we've got each other's numbers, too late to block him, too late to mute him. He's in there for good. Well, what can you do? But we are here to talk about Cholton, as you are as well. There is still time. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. And now, though, we've got another special someone on the line, Tyler Rowlinson, Cholton match day vlogger. Tyler, it was a pleasure to get you on the show a few weeks back. I always get to watch your Cholton vlogs, and at the minute I'm guessing, and I've been rightly informed, you're not the happiest at the minute.
that is unfortunately one way to put it. Long story short, after Tuesday's game, I lost my head. I've got to admit, I lost my head.
The toys were well and truly thrown out of pram Tuesday, weren't they, mate?
Yeah. I was so livid and angry after that. I just felt that I've got to release my anger in some way, and stupidly release my anger. And to be honest, deservedly so. I got backlash for it. But I woke up the next morning, calmed down a little bit. But I can't help but still feel a bit angry after that result, because that defeat did hurt on Tuesday.
Tyler, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 17.
So, listen, I'm 58, and I'm still suffering being a Cholton supporter. So, it just doesn't get any better. So
You've got a lifetime of this, mate.
That's exactly what you wanted to hear, Tyler, isn't it?
I did say to him on Twitter the other day, I said, listen, mate, you're a Cholton fan, just get used to it, son. Simple as that.
My dad always tells me, like, Cholton, we never do it the easy way, but that's the beauty of it, isn't it?
Tyler, I asked Mark the question and said, look, sometimes there's a bit of silliness on social media. I know I watch your vlog, and obviously you're just disappointed and frustrated from a sense of your team haven't won in 9 games, but there is a little bit of craziness on social media at the minute, maybe about Bowyer, maybe about the team. This is a tough, tough division in the Championship. Do you subscribe to that silliness, or, you know, what are you making of it all?
I think, well, the silliness of people going Bowyer out is, in my opinion, disgraceful. I completely disagree with that. I don't know how that's come upon, really. I don't know why people were suggesting Bowyer to be out in the first place, I think. I mean, I know you're frustrated for the fact that we're on such a poor run after such an amazing start, and everyone's on the high horse, we're getting a bit overexcited, and now we're on this bad run. Our expectations we had at the start of the season are now gone, and all of a sudden we want Bowyer out, and I think that's unacceptable, really. I don't know how you can be turning on Bowyer like that.
Yeah, people do say crazy things on Twitter after games. Talking about your tweet,
Not that we're looking, Tyler.
I'm just reading it now. I can't read it all because it's not safe for radio. But
cheers, Ollie.
But you did mention that the players that didn't turn up and that they don't care. Those players on the pitch, they just weren't playing for the shirt. In not so many words. You know, talk me through that. How did you come to that conclusion?
I just felt, well, I think the game itself on Tuesday was an absolutely diabolical game to watch. I think both teams were not very good at all. Huddersfield were pretty poor. They had a lot of the ball, but we just couldn't match them, really. We kept losing the ball in the midfield. The attackers got no service. Bond didn't get the service. Lecco was ineffective yet again. Alfie Doughty, full credit to him, because he's been exceptional since he's been given his chance. But again, he just couldn't get enough of the ball. And then, I mean, it just wasn't a very good football match, really. Destined for a 0-0 draw. And then Chris Solly right at the death. To be fair, I felt we had a pretty all right game, to be fair. But terrible clearance, gave the ball away. They swing the ball in and then it goes in. But it just wasn't a good football game to watch, really. Very poor performance from us, to be honest.
Tyler, what do you make of Lee Bowyer's, what he's doing, not doing, but his handling of Albie Morgan? I find it a bit strange the last couple of weeks.
Not too sure about that one. Morgan's had to come in following the injuries and whatnot. And can't.
Well, you see, the game was calling out for him on Tuesday, I thought, and then he just brought on that young lad Vennings, who didn't do bad. He's, you know, he's a reasonable player, but Morgan's got a bit of a better passing range, isn't he? And he's a bit more incisive.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm thinking possibly for tomorrow night, maybe the two games in a week. You know,
he's 19. He should be able to do that.
I'd say so.
But getting back to your blast on Tuesday night, Tyler, have you sort of reflected now? Because one of the comments that Lee Bowyer came out with is he did an analogy with a plumber. So, you know, if half your tools are missing, there's not a lot you can do to complete the job. And obviously, our midfield has been decimated. So, you know, I went to both games. I went to the Middlesbrough game. There was absolutely no excuse for our performance up there. And as Lee rightly said, you know, we didn't put the work in. But I felt we put the work in on Tuesday, but the quality was sadly missing because of our injury situation. So would you feel now that on reflection, you know, that is the key problem overall?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think, obviously, Tuesday night, as I said, I was absolutely raging and I just lost my head and put that up on there. But I think I woke up the next morning, had a little bit of reflection and came to realise that the reason why we kept losing the ball in the midfield is because, as you put it, our midfield is completely decimated. We had Gallagher and Prattley, and then on the bench we had Morgan Vennings, who's, let's face it, too inexperienced, and then Joe Ledley, who's just come in. But yeah, I think overall it's got to be the injury. The injury is absolutely killing us at the moment, and we're just sliding even further down the table. I think we did put the effort in against Huddersfield. We did show that. I mean, Gallagher was sprinting all over the place.
Exactly,
knackered after the end of it. And then, but I do agree the fact that the quality just wasn't there. But you can't fault the lad's effort. Like, we put in 110% every single match. Mm.
So, Tyler, what, Tyler, can we expect for tomorrow's vlog?
I'm going to be upbeat about this. So I'm going to try and get behind the boys.
Good
positive.
Man.
I was
good boy.
On Tuesday night, I was screaming my head off constantly, like telling the boys to move the ball quick. I'll just keep moving. But the best thing we've got to do is just get behind these boys. Look, I know we're going to struggle until January, in my opinion, with the squad that we've got at the moment. But if we're going to struggle, we're going to struggle together. And we're going to get behind these boys and we'll suffer through this together.
And in defence of you, Tyler, it's human nature. I mean, Tuesday, obviously, it was such a sucker punch and conceding the goal in the 93rd minute. And that sort of probably makes us feel the way we did. I was very critical straight after the game because I felt in the lead up to that goal, I don't know if you noticed, just before Huddersfield started the attack, I wasn't sure about Prattley's header in the middle of the field. And obviously the clearance by Solly wasn't particularly great, so I was raging about that. But you know, overall, I felt, you know, the likes of Solly had a good, dependable game. So it's human nature, and we've just got to crack on, and we've just got to get through this. It's very, very difficult at the moment being a Charlton fan on the playing side.
Yeah, and Tyler, we were talking about a little bit earlier in the show, but you know, we do believe this is going to turn around. We're going to get back into winning ways. What do you think it's going to take for us to get back into that, you know, that winning form?
I think it's just a case of the players, the injured players we've got coming back. Obviously, Johnny Williams supposedly back for tomorrow on the bench is massive because we've missed that creative energy in the midfield. Sam Fields coming back as well. He's been a very underrated player this season, Joe. He's played really well. Cullen back after Christmas. And then, obviously, as well as the injuries coming, we've also got the January transfer window. And obviously, with the takeover, hopefully we'll be done by then. We'll hopefully get some investment and we can bring in some new bodies. So I think it's a case of getting the squad back together and then adding players if we need to.
Well, Tyler, you said the most important message, get behind the team tomorrow night. What is your score prediction?
I think I did say on Twitter a couple of times that I just can't see us doing anything until January with the squad that we've got at the moment. But I think we might nick a 1-1 or 4.
Oh, I like it. We'll take that, mate.
Tyler, we really appreciate you coming on. Honestly, you're always welcome on the show. Really good to get your thoughts. Tyler Rowlandson there, Charlton match day vlogger, always good. He did get a little bit angry, but, you know, let's be fair to him. We all get angry at our team, don't we? I mean, I'm getting angry or watching Charlton and getting embroiled. I'm not a Charlton fan.
Yeah, it is so difficult. I wonder why I put myself through the meal. It's just...
No, you don't. You love it.
It's ridiculous. I mean, going back to Saturday, I mean, we had a lovely trip up. No traffic. Straight up the A1. Was outside the Riverside by 1:30 in the pub having a nice cheeky pint. It was all going swimmingly well.
Swimmingly.
You know, nice. And then...
There wasn't enough time for you to read those tree books.
Didn't take the tree book up. I was getting ready for the show, Charlie, being the true professional that I am.
But I think you said it on Twitter, Mark, the other day. if you're expecting to see your team win every single week, win championships all the time, don't support Charlton because they're not the team for you. So we should expect this. Like, we're going to go through a patch where we lose, but that's not why we support them. So,
do you think, can I ask an honest question, that, you know, because some of the reactions so far, knee-jerk reaction, social reaction, whatever it is, do you think that would have always been the way, even if Charlton didn't start as brightly as they did, because they were coming up with such euphoria from that playoff final, or was it added with this brilliant start, Mark?
The thing is, the start to the season has caused all of this without a shadow of doubt.
I mean, people like Rob Sullivan saying scouting for Man City.
Hey, I'm as guilty, you know what I mean? Because I've been giving it all the big and we're going to be in the playoffs, and I still think we can challenge. Once we get into January and the players back, I do.
Ollie, don't you smile. You're another big one, right?
So 4-0 every week.
I love it. Mr. 5-0.
You know, it's a lot of people coming to my side.
The start of the season's definitely up the expectations, especially our younger generation of fans. And, you know, they've seen us win. They've seen us go up to West Brom. They've seen, you know, Blackburn away. So, you know, the expectations. And now this has dampened them down a bit. They might sort of like think, oh, hang on a minute, we're in a proper, maybe not a relegation battle just yet, but we'll see. It's going to be a tough few weeks.
But this is the problem, isn't it? Because we've got all these injuries, it just shows we've obviously got the lowest budget in the Championship as it stands. The takeover hasn't happened yet. We've got to just put that to one side. It hasn't happened. So it is what it is, but we've also shown that when we've got the players there, we're a match for anyone in this division.
Definitely.
So
absolutely. As you said, no one's blown you away, and you've given those better sides a better game. But how much can we put that takeover to one side? Because it still hasn't been ratified yet. We're going to be talking about it all next. Love Sport. You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined by the brilliant SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Sir Martin of the Adkins, Ollie Cook. And now, of course, as is tradition, we are joined by the brilliant Ahmed. Ahmed, I want to get your take on the games because it is a disappointing 2-1-0 scorelines, 9 games. Ahmed, for me, it was disappointing, disastrous and debilitating. What do you make of it?
I made it both games. Dire, dreadful disappointment.
Yes! The triple D's, come on!
I was listening to the Middlesbrough game, so I can't comment too much about that, but I was actually at the Valley for the Tuesday game, and guys were talking about how we're going to turn this around. What we need is a little bit of luck, right? If that disallowed goal, which I wasn't sure it was disallowed for offside, would have actually stood, then that would have helped us out. Because obviously they then went down the other end and scored the winner, which was an absolutely sickening blow. One of the reasons we were overturned in midfield is because they played 3 at the back and 5 across the middle, where Boyer only went with the diamond, and he didn't try and match them up, which I was actually quite surprised in the second half.
Yeah, because he does normally,
doesn't
he? And
also the substitution. I wouldn't have taken Neco off. I would have gone 4-3-3 and had Taylor playing up front with Bond and let Neco have a free roll behind. And this is basically, and that would have sent the message to them that we were going to try and win that game.
Problem with Leko, I think he was driving Bowyer mad. He was driving me mad because he just couldn't control the ball on Tuesday. Every time the ball was coming up to him, he was miscontrolling it. And I thought at one point Macaulay Bond was going to go over and crack him one because he was having a right go at him.
I saw that, and also I think my interpretation of Leko is he's got a lot of talent for a young player, but he reminds me of Tony Watt. He doesn't use his head. His decision-making is absolutely appalling. He just gets his head down and says, I'm going to dribble around 5 players and score a wonder goal. And it never happens.
And we have got to be conscious that he is a young player. He's only 19.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we do have to remember that.
But he needs some real coaching work, I think, in that matter. Yeah, and good
definitely.
Talking to from Bowyer as
well.
I
don't know if you watched the BT Sport mic'd up thing with Lee Bowyer.
No, I missed that. Well, I did hear things
about
that.
There was quite a good little bit at the end, near the end. He was walking off the training pitch with Leko, and he said to Leko, you know, you don't have to nutmeg players every 2 seconds. He said, you can sort of like pass it off. It's a good little chat.
Exactly, well said. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I was getting at. Yeah.
Ahmed, looking back to something you just said there, that we didn't match him up tactically, do you think what we've always been talking about, injuries and not getting a bit of luck from officials, do you think maybe there's an element of maybe getting it wrong tactically that, you know, we're not really talking about with Bowyer, but do you think that probably could be also the case with what's going on at the moment?
I think that's possibly one of the contributory factors, yeah. I mean, the injuries are obviously causing a problem because he played the diamond, fortunately, whereas other games he's not been able to do that because he hasn't had the players to do it. I mean, you've got to have the players to play a particular system. And obviously, unfortunately, until we get back quite a few of our players, the games are going to be very difficult.
And
I mean, no, I'm not trying to be negative here, but what I'm saying is if we carry on the way we're going, by the time we get to January, we're going to be in a precarious state.
And what did you think of the reception the Charlton fans gave to Carl and Grant on Tuesday night, Ackman?
I thought it could have been a little bit more appreciative. I mean, I think a lot of people were trying to boo him off the ball most of the time. I mean, and then other people were calling him Judas because he left us. Well, he left us because another club offered to, you know, him a decent deal and bought him, basically. And that is the way of modern football with young players when they're successful. We're a selling club like every other club apart from the top six in the Premier League.
Yes, it's a really good point. Ahmed, always appreciate you coming on, giving us a little bit of your time. Such an important part of the Charlton fan show, Ahmed.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No, thank you for calling. Always appreciate you calling. Let's quickly talk about that takeover, because obviously we got excited, we mentioned it, and I've seen comments saying that don't worry about it. Everything still seems to be in place. These things take their time. It hasn't been ratified yet. But what is the word on the street, Mark?
Well, yesterday the EFL interviewed Mr. Southall and the other members of the board. I can't remember their names now. And, of course, we read that Lee Bowyer's having a meeting with Matt Southall today. So, you know, why would we be doing that? You know, they must have been getting some sort of, word from the EFL that's always going to be OK, because why would he be meeting with Bowyer if they've not been ratified yet? I find that a bit strange, to be honest, but...
Have you got concerns, then, that maybe all is not what it seems?
Well, no, I think everything must be all right, personally, because why else would he be meeting with Bowyer? Because, right. You know, why would this Châtelet let that happen as well?
Because,
obviously, I ain't going to meet you. Ain't bought the club yet. You want to chat with my manager? I don't know.
Yeah, I think we still need to be cautious about everything, because if we're getting our hopes up...
Yeah, massively. Because that would be a massive blow, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it'd be a laughing stock, wouldn't we?
I don't know if you would, Mark.
No, we would. With Millwall and all that, trust me.
But in the footballing world, you know, outside of that, I don't think you will. But I just think, what effect does that have mentally on the team? Say, worst case scenario, because that is a massive blow.
Yeah. Well, it's all about the timing at the moment, because we need this to go through. Because I think if we can get this takeover done, I think it's really important to get our business done really early in January, because we need, much more choice in new recruits coming in and integrating them into the squad. And obviously, the key factors here are Bowyer and the management staff with the contracts, and obviously Lyle Taylor. So there's so much to do. And I'm just a bit concerned about the time constraints, because now I'm hearing it's a four-week window to wrap all this up.
Yeah, we really do need it before the transfer window, because we need to get contracts in place first and foremost. We need to make sure that Taylor's not going anywhere. We need to make sure Bowie's not going anywhere, so make sure they're signed up for at least another few seasons. And then make an impact, because we need players in, because our squad's paper thin, full of injuries. We need players in. So if this doesn't get wrapped up before Christmas, it's looking a bit concerning.
As I said last season, and I've said it earlier on this season, we have to get Bowyer signed up now. Literally, get the takeover done and get Bowyer signed up, because then players will see there's a stability at the club. The manager signed for 3 years. He's, you know, and then we've got the chance of signing decent players.
Well, just away from the takeover at the minute, because I know everyone may think, nine games down in the dumps. I just want to read you a little stat. I'm sure you'd have all seen it, but if not, maybe it can be our own little trivia question. Well, the Championship table at half time, if we were doing it on half, have you seen this?
I've heard about this one,
half time, Leeds would still be top, right, 39 points. Second, Bristol. Third, Hull. Fourth, Charlton.
We're in the playoffs.
On 30 points. If the table was done at half time, I don't know. When you see these things, hear these things, how much do you read into them or take that into account, Ollie?
I mean, it does say a lot about our season that towards the end of the game we get tired, we don't have enough players to hold on to games. But, you know, I remember last year, I think some Liverpool fans said if you get 2 points for a win, Liverpool would have won the league. Like, but you don't. You know, the game doesn't end at half time, so we are where we are because
it's a great point.
We're just not strong enough.
Yeah, I mean, just off the top of my head, I'm just recalling three games where we've let in last minute goals. There was the one at Bristol City, obviously when Smith scored for Millwall a few weeks back, and then what happened on Tuesday. And also another thing I've noticed, we've been losing out to quite a lot of subs who are coming on from the opposition.
Impact. You mentioned this. It was in the Preston game, I think, didn't you?
So you can't count Gallagher because obviously he came on and scored a penalty. But then you had the likes of Tomlin coming on for Cardiff scoring. You had the likes of Smith coming on for Millwall. And you had the likes of the young lad on Tuesday, Daly, 18 years of age. Great for him, of course, scoring again. So it does question in my mind, are we working out the tactics? Do the players know what's happening when new personnel come on? And how to deal with maybe a change in formation and obviously the change in personnel.
That's a good point. I didn't know that's quite good about the subs because I can't remember a sub coming on.
Well, it'd be 7 points more than you would have now, isn't it? You're on 23. So you'd have 7 points that obviously you've lost that from those half-time positions. Yes. But then who does that fall down to if the personnel don't know what they're doing? Does that fall back down to Bowyer and the staff?
Of course
the players?
It does, yeah.
All right, yeah, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's the manager. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, he's the one that sends the players out with the tactics and... I mean, we've got to remember, he's still a fledgling manager. He's still only 18 months in, you know what I mean? So he's going to make mistakes, and it's how he learns from those mistakes. But what my big thing is, that coming into the transfer window, I mean, we are so desperate for a big, dominant centre-half, in my opinion, now. Because we're getting bullied at the back, you know. Nabisar's a big boy, but he's not a monster, you know what I mean? Say, like the Jake Coopers at Millwall, you know, them boys, I can't remember the team. Was it Cardiff? They had some big boys at the back. Yeah. You know, they make a difference, and I think that's what we're missing.
Well, it's like with Nabisar against Millwall, he didn't know Smith was behind him. He just sort of, you know, he's behind you.
So that would be the preference position of choice in January if you do add those bodies.
Well, I mean, I've been...
Well, we need a left-back as well.
We need a left-back. I mean, Purton's getting a lot of stick at the moment. Unfair, because everyone wants him to be this marauding left-back, whipping in crosses. Mm. You know, and I keep reminding people, when we signed him, Bowyer said, that's not his game. He's a defender, first and foremost, you know. But it's a way of the world, you know. We do need another left-back because Lewis Page has made the glass, so he'll come back and get injured again. So we're desperate for another left-back.
He plays for us.
Yeah, well, I think the SE7 podcast and Charlton have a few on their Christmas wish list. Have they been good this year? Certainly if the calendar points go by, that we know for sure. Well, we are looking towards tomorrow night's game. Again, one on telly, one under the lights. Mm-hmm. It is Hull. And Rick Skelton, a Hull blogger, will be joining us next. Love Sport. You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show, and that is right. It's time for the opposition view. I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, Sir Martin of the Atkins, and Ollie Cook. Well, now we turn our attentions to tomorrow night. It's under the lights. It's on TV. Paul's got a big trip, but he wouldn't miss it for the world. He'll be back with plenty of time to spare. It's Hull tomorrow night, and now we get to speak to Rick Skelton, a Hull blogger, to tell us more about his side. Rick, can you tell us a little bit about what you've made of Hull season so far?
Hi guys. We're a bit of a funny team. I think we're mid-table for a reason. Bit of a new side in the summer. Grant McCann coming in to replace Nigel Adkins. Brought in a lot of players, and it took a little while to settle down. But I think we sort of settled into a rhythm where we're consistently inconsistent.
Exactly right. Because I'm looking at your form, Rick, and it's very up and down. Like you'll lose a game, then win a game. It doesn't matter who your position is; could be the top of the table, bottom of the table. It seems to be alternating win and loss. What do you think that's all down to? How are you going to predict what the next score is going to be?
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, obviously, a couple of weeks ago we hammered Preston. If we're honest, we battered them at home, and then we went and lost to Barnsley, and that's just typical of us. And then of course we had a good week, good win on Saturday, and then went and lost to Leeds, which I guess there's no shame in that unless you're Hull. I don't know really. I mean, we don't have the biggest squad. Got a few injuries at the moment. There aren't a lot of decisions for the manager to make. There aren't a lot of players he can bring in. So sometimes when it's games coming thick and fast, and it's Saturday, Tuesday, we do always look a bit leggy for the second game. So there's some of that. Grant McCann wants us to, you know, to press without the ball this season. He wants to put a lot of work in. We do tend to struggle late in some games where we've exerted a lot of effort. So I think there's an element of that. I think that there's an element that we've always been capable of getting beat by poor teams.
Look at some of our results.
Calling us a poor team, Eric.
No,
I'm joking.
I was talking about Barnsley, to be honest.
Well, sorry, Rick, go on.
No. We've played Barnsley and Middlesbrough of late, who were sort of struggling down the bottom end of the table and not got, 1 point out of six in those games. Played Derby and Preston, 6 points out of six. Went and beat Forest away. So, with that sort of team.
We do have a little bit of previous with Mr. McCann. Obviously, last season he was manager of Doncaster. And when he came to the Valley last season in that final game, albeit we went through on penalties, he did come down with a really good tactical plan, didn't he? He came in. So I think we're going to expect a little bit more of the same tomorrow night. And obviously, you've got the goal machine in Mr. Bowen, so we've got to worry about him.
Yeah. I mean, I've been quite impressed with Grant McCann. I mean, I like the way his Doncaster team played. Obviously, I think the most I saw of them was in them two games against you guys last year. I thought they played really well. They were good games, weren't they? To be honest, it doesn't seem to alter the tactics that much. Wherever we go, tries to impose our game. Obviously, we've got some good forward players. And he wants to get them on the ball, sort of Grzycki and Bowen particularly, get them on the ball, get them running at teams. And I think that's definitely our strength, to be fair. We're not brilliant defensively. Midfield's a bit in and out. So if we can go and hurt teams and score more goals than the other team, I think that's probably the best approach.
Now, Rick, we've had a recruitment guy at Charlton called Thomas Dreesen, who works in the background for our illustrious owner, Roland de Châtelet. Now, he reportedly blocked a move by Lee Bowie in the summer for Tom Eaves. How has he shaped up for Hull City?
He's not been great, to be honest. He's 2 goals in 19
appearances, I understand.
Yeah, and he's to be fair, I mean, he's a real good guy, Tom Eaves, and he's a good character around. But he's got you bring players in from League One, and some of them really work, and some of them don't. And Tom, to be honest, he looks a bit of a League One player. His touch isn't great. He's got a big turning circle. And we don't play to his strengths, in fairness as well, I would say. Obviously, Bowen and Grzycki are the dangerous players.
Yeah.
Their focus is generally getting the ball down, running at defenders, getting a shot in. We're not set up to put balls into the box for a big striker like Tom Eaves. All his work is sort of, outside the box, and he just... To be fair, we brought Josh McGuinness in, who I think is another player that you guys know.
Yeah.
And he looks the better option. And we've looked a better side when McGuinness has been in it, albeit he's been sent off twice this season, so he's always suspended.
How worried are you, Rick, with the impending transfer window of the Premier League vultures come roaring for Mr. Bowen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be inevitable at some point. I think the reason he's still here... is probably because we want a lot of money for him. But the more he does it, obviously. I mean, I've watched him since he came in, I think, when he was 16, when Hereford went bust the first time. He'd actually played some first-team games at Hereford, and he came here, and I've watched him come through our 23s. And they were a bit slow on putting him into the first team, and then he finally got in... scored in his sort of first real appearance in the Championship against Villa, and he just keeps doing it.
He's been fantastic this season, hasn't he?
Yeah. Is it going to be one season? Is it, and then he did it a second season, and now we're sort of halfway through his third real season as a regular, and he's better than ever, and he's very, very good.
Yeah.
Let's say at the moment they'll want I think 20 million somewhere around there when you look at what players like Ollie McBurnie have been sold for. I don't see why any club's going to sell a player for.
Yeah, totally agree.
Sort of less, and I would imagine that would sort of put off some teams. I don't know who the buyer is for Bowen, because I think he would probably walk into some of them bottom half Premier League teams, but they ain't going to spend 20 million, and then the clubs who are going to spend 20 million higher up, I think probably not. That's that's my one ray of hope, is that there isn't a buyer there, but it's going to be inevitable at some point. His contract's up the year after this, so I think the club will probably, if he doesn't sign a new contract, they're definitely going to sell him in the summer.
Yeah, and finally, Rick, with it being live on Sky and close to Christmas, will we see many Tigers in the Jimmy Seed stand tomorrow evening?
I don't think it'll be massive. I mean, we do have quite a bit of a presence. You know, there's a Southern supporters, so that tends to be right. Good. There's generally a good turnout at a place like Brentford and Charlton anyway. I do know of quite a few people who are planning to come have been scuppered by the move because they've got cheap train tickets and some of them have got hotels. Right. And,
yes, of course.
Sort of shopping trips have been scuppered as well. So
it's terrible, isn't it?
I think it would have been a better crowd on a Saturday, but hopefully there'll be quite a good representation, because we do have quite a lot of supporters in the Southern Supporters Club. So I think it'd be good. I think it'd be a good game, and I think you guys are finally getting rid of Roland the Belgian, aren't you? Which is absolutely
fingers crossed.
Yeah, we're hoping, Rick. Obviously, like you said, the fans are always fault of last. The game gets moved; they don't care about if you've made plans already. But Rick, just quickly, what is your score prediction for tomorrow night's game?
I think it'll be a draw. I know it's sitting on the fence, but I think it'll be a draw.
I think they'll take it. Rick, we really appreciate you coming on, giving us some of your time. Rick Skelton there, a Hull fan who's also a Hull blogger. He's saying the draw. I have to ask for your free opinion. Firstly, Mark, I'll come to you first. Where will the game be won and lost? Oh, right, I'll go to Wally first.
We've got to get back on the goal scoring trail, so yeah. I think that's why Tidy's got to start more. So I'm going 1-0.
1-0, Ollie.
Yeah, well, we've got to keep that Bowen and that Polish guy, Grzycki, is that it's pronounced?
Very good player.
Yeah, yeah, got to keep them quiet. So if we put Darren Prattley on the job, I'm sure we'll get away with a 2-0 win.
God, always the optimist. I like it, Ollie. Desperate under those lights. I know you don't like being on Sky. Paul, yeah, I don't know why I've come to Paul last. I still much to learn in this game. Paul, what is your score prediction? But more than that, where will this game be won and lost, and how do you think it will play out, Paul?
Right, well, yeah, I endorse what Ollie says. I mean, if you can sort out the guy Bowen, I think Hull don't have
to step into Christmas.
I also my Grosicki is a very good player, and so yeah, we might.
Paul
have
just
to...
gave us a lesson there in how to say it. Did you see that?
It wasn't just
Grosicki. I loved it. Burrow's not even in the studio anymore.
There you go. So I think possibly Bowen might be tempted with a little man marking job there. But I noticed in the game against Leeds on Wednesday, Leeds really capitalised on the old counter-attack. Because I don't know if you saw, Hull had a corner, a very good chance. And, you know, if you can break at speed, and I was thinking Lecco could come into his own there. So that was a little chink in their armour that I saw. But I'm going for a 3-1 Charlton home win.
Wow. Oh. Unbelievable. And we didn't even know. We've just opened up the advent calendar. We think, what's coming? And what a surprise it was. What a treat that is. Paul, he's gone 3-1. Mark, you're stunned today.
Well, I've just really, really quickly.
Yeah, go on, please.
We had a tweet in from 14-year-old Joe. Who
said, I love it.
I've learned very quickly Charlton fans are born to have periods of suffering. Long ones, to be honest. But put on a happy face. There are wins ahead. Good boy, Joe.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. But he's saying there are wins ahead. Paul is saying 3-1. Ollie's saying 2-0. Is there something in the water, the SE7 water, tomorrow night? Charlton taking a hold under the lights. The Addicts are taking a hold. They haven't had a win in 9. But we've got a funny feeling it could be happening tomorrow. Then we will be discussing it as we do every Thursday, 9 to 10, right here on the Charlton Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.